Save the $2 on tomorrow's paper. Listen to the Devil's Advocates today.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. I welcome back a fine guest. He is John Nichols from The Nation, from the Cap Times here locally in Madison. John, welcome back. How you doing, my friend?
I am okay, but what's that music you're playing
now? Well, I'm playing, and this was at my request. I'm playing right. Freshman. Right. We Were Only Freshmen, or something that song's called. Verb Pipe, yeah. I believe. John. Yes,
the state of Michigan is happy.
I for something a little edgier, man.
I'm sorry, John. You know, there was a void that had to be filled. And
I understand.
I wanted to fill it in honor of the near completion of Joe Biden's freshman year of his presidency. So that's a long ways to go, John. I hope you went with me.
I got you. You know, I was, you know, I'm kind of more of a Alice Cooper schools out for summer kind of guy. But, you know, I recognize your sophisticated approach here.
Is that what it is, John? Sophistication?
I bow to your deep analysis of the calendar.
Okay, I appreciate that, John. I'm going to take that as a compliment. Let's talk about the president, though. It's been a tough freshman year. The Republicans have hung this guy in the lockers a couple times, John. And you know, I think he's getting wedgies from Sinema and Manchin and his own party. I mean, if I had a – I'm glad my freshman year was – survivable. Will it be for Joe Biden?
Well, yeah, he's going to survive it. I think he's just got to make it another day or so. And, chances are that the averages are on his side. So he'll make it through. The question is, how he survived it, in what form. And right now, frankly, it doesn't look very good. His approval ratings are lousy. Way lower than you'd want them to be. That's not that shocking. I think a Democratic or a Republican president at this time might have some rough ratings because we're going through Omicron and everything else, got inflation, the whole bit. But he's not getting much credit for what he has accomplished. And it is important to understand that he did accomplish some pretty impressive things. Number one, putting to bed the Trump presidency. That was a good thing. Number two, getting the American Relief Act passed, which was a good thing. Getting, a pretty decent infrastructure measure passed, that was a good thing. Getting his cabinet filled out with some pretty competent people, doing a lot of judicial picks, beginning to, fill up the ambassadorships with competent folks, including Tom Barrett over in Luxembourg. Give him all that. The problem, of course, is that since about midsummer, it started to be really shaky. The administration strategy for kind of playing a long game has not worked out well. They took too much time to try and pass Build Back Better, lost whatever energy they had on that, and ended up in a situation where, of course, Manchin and Sinema, Manchin in particular in that case, tripped it up. And so a huge part of their domestic agenda is sort of, at sea or adrift at this point. And then on voting rights, democracy, what they should have done in January of 2020, coming off of the January 6th coup attempt by Trump and his allies and its aftermath, in the period of the impeachment fight, where it's notable that 50 Democrats and 7 Republicans voted to convict Donald Trump. That's the point at which they should have made a major play on securing democracy. And they didn't. They waited way too long. Now they're in a situation where it's very hard, if at all possible, to enact, basic democracy protections that are needed. And so, I got to say, I don't know that I'm giving the president an A right now for his freshman year.
John, is Biden perhaps guilty of setting high expectations? And, I believe in setting high expectations. But he said things like, I'm going to build bridges. I'm going to be a unifier. Well, of course, it takes two parties to unify. And all the other party has to do is not come together. And they've made him a liar, or they've made him ineffectual in certain ways. Is his efforts at bipartisanship is his reaching across the aisle to the Republicans? Is he following Obama down some of the same wrong paths, John?
You know, he gave indications early on that he understood that Obama had, you know, actually gone too low, shot too low rather than too high in his first year as president, and also that there had been a kind of a lack of focus, lack of effective focus on dealing with the economic meltdown of 2007, 2008, and that came back to haunt Obama. So, you know, the sense was that Biden and Schumer and their crew pretty much knew what they had to do. The problem, and in fairness to Biden, I don't think he shot too high. I don't think that was the problem at all. I think the problem was that they did not figure out how to build a governing coalition at the start. And, you know, they've got this 50-50 split in the Senate, which is a lousy circumstance. They've got a slightly better situation in the House. But in the Senate, what they needed to do was, you know, look at their circumstance. If there were things that had to be done to get Manchin and Sinema on board, those should have been, you know, mission critical job one things that were done at the start, because you're going to have to live with them, right? So you figure that out. You got to give Manchin an extra bridge or Sinema, you know, like, I don't know, a free trip to Paris or whatever, you know, do it. And give them responsibilities so that they become part of the coalition. Don't let them be out there as, you know, free agents. Bring them in as best you can. They didn't do a good job of that. And then the second thing is, you know, look at your opportunities to get another member. You know, maybe, you know, appoint Kubi to the, ambassador to food and agriculture in Rome or something. You know, whatever Toomey wants, get him out of that Pennsylvania seat and, you know, get it, use the process in Pennsylvania. You've got a Democratic governor and a special election process to get another Democrat in there. That would have been, that's what I would have done, is to kind of expand out. And then I also would have spent an immense amount of time courting both Mitt Romney, who's shown some, you know, vague interest, at least in democracy, and Lisa Murkowski, who, you know, frankly, is on balance pretty close to a moderate Democrat. And I just don't think enough energy was put on that, because they've ended up in this situation where a couple of, you know, jokers, basically Manchin and Sinema, have played them, you know, in the last 2 or 3 months at every turn, to immense harm to the president's image and, frankly, to the image of Democrats as a governing party.
Folks, you are listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Never guilty of setting too high expectations. Some just call us the greatest radio show ever, because we have nothing but the greatest guests, like John Nichols from The Nation. Our good friend, we appreciate you joining us, John. Well, let me talk about some of the major victories of the Biden first year. The American Rescue Plan, that was a massive victory for the American people. John, I think if anything, Biden and the Dems, they haven't done enough bragging about that. I mean, they backstopped the economy. They kept us from God knows what. And they moved on rapidly, and they barely even talked about it.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. Couple things that are really important here. And first and foremost, you know, Trump was chaos, right? I mean, he ended up with a coup attempt in the midst of a raging, deadly pandemic outbreak. I mean, what a disaster. And so getting rid of him was an incredibly healthy thing. And they should make that, you know, they should be clear about that. Now, we have an Omicron outbreak now, but it's not nearly as deadly as what you were looking at, you know, a year ago. And we, you know, we don't have a coup going on. And so there's a whole bunch of things that are better right off the bat. And Biden should talk about that all the time. So should the rest of his administration. I don't know what the Biden people are thinking. You know, they don't do a good job of regularly reminding the American people of how bad things were under Trump and how much better they are in a lot of ways under Biden. They also, frankly, don't, you know, kind of do the careful planning that they should to make sure that they don't fall into traps that allow, you know, the Republicans to essentially pick at them for things that aren't really their fault. And as an example of that, they should have been better prepared for Omicron. There's no doubt they should have been working on that supply chain, the testing and things like that a lot harder. It looks like at the end, you know, Omicron's going to peak pretty soon, and, you know, fade out as something that wasn't as deadly or as destructive as some people feared. So they may dodge a bullet there, but they should be putting a lot more money and energy into preparation for future surges so that they're clearly on top of the pandemic in a better way. And as regards to democracy stuff also, they should have moved harder on that early on. But if we just take a basic look, you know, what do we understand? Unemployment, you know, it's kind of heading toward record lows. We have inflation, and that's something we have to be concerned about, but you can harness inflation, and they should, you know, be trying to do so in ways that, you know, take the pressure off working class people and, you know, put the pressure hard on the rich. You know, they should be taxing the rich a whole lot more and looking at every avenue to do that. And then finally, you know, look, they need to free the members of the administration to go out and brag about things a lot more. We do not hear enough from cabinet members. We don't hear enough from Vice President Kamala Harris. Frankly, we don't hear enough from Biden himself. And, you know, too much of the narrative is, you know, dictated by news reports and by Republican spin rather than by, you know, an effective use of the bully pulpit by Biden. So at the end of the day, if Biden was bragging a little more and demanding accountability a little more from the Republicans, I think he'd be in better shape.
John Nichols, think back to the primaries when they began, and it was Bernie and it was Elizabeth Warren and Cory Booker, and there were so many progressive ideologies, and they were being expressed, Medicare for all and all these great ideas. At least we thought they were great. And they didn't carry the date. They didn't win the primary. Joe Biden won the primary. But the trajectory, perhaps we... You know, we're all guilty of projecting high liberal expectations on this presidency. He wasn't the socialist. That's the guy I voted for in the primaries. But but here's the question, John. We've moved so far away from that that even the accomplishments of this administration seem like such a watered down version of what could have been. Am I guilty of too high expectations?
No, you're not. I mean, look. I think you should talk less about expectations and more about necessity. And I don't think Democrats and progressives talk enough about necessity. There are certain things that need to happen, you know, whether it's, you know, a progressive agenda or whatever, however you refer to it, they just have to happen. It's very interesting. I know the Prime Minister of Iceland a little bit, and, you know, we talk about why Iceland did so well in the pandemic. And, you know, first thing she talks about is, you know, we have a great, you know, national healthcare system and public health. You know, I mean, it's a very, very simple reality. And the United States desperately, desperately needs a national healthcare system, single payer model. And that's not some left or right thing, progressive or centrist or whatever. It is simply what we need. And we should expect and seek that. It's embarrassing, frankly, that we don't have it. And it's embarrassing, frankly, that we have a new administration that hasn't fought harder in that direction.
But, John, we're moving farther and farther away from an expansion of Medicare. At least that's my opinion. We're not moving left. Last administration was trying to repeal and replace Obamacare. You know, if we go back to the hard right, John, we'll be lucky if we retain what we have. So here's the question. I'll spit it out. Do I need to fear, and I got 1 minute to give you here for a response, do I need to fear that the Democrats are going to run to the center, they're going to triangulate like the Clintons did, or perhaps, you know, can we embrace some of the policies of the left, even if they're only aspirational?
Okay, we're going to talk in a second segment, or are you getting rid of me after this one?
No, we got more time, John. It's a multi-part question. I might have to give you two segments.
Now, I'll be quick on this, and then we'll come back and talk about it a little more. Should you fear? Yeah, you should be. It should be the thing that keeps you up at night, because the simple fact of the matter is that Democrats have done this again and again and again. Instead of, you know, countering Republican extremism with a bold, clear, and necessary agenda, you know, they've gone soft and they've tried to run to the center. They've tried to say, oh, well, we're a kinder, gentler version of the Republicans, or we're not as bad as they are.
John, we're never soft. Hard breaks are on here. We'll be right back with John Nichols from The Nation. More Devil's Advocates.